How exactly should Obamacare be repealed and replaced? We're going to talk about that right now for a few minutes with Jason Pye, who is the Director of Public Policy and Legislative Affairs for FreedomWorks. Their organization is freedomworks.org. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, appreciate you having me.
Sure. Now, recently you wrote an article. We'll link to that article here for the Washington Examiner. And the headline is, "Hey, Senate Republicans, give patients the consumer freedom option." So what exactly is that?
Well, the consumer freedom option, it's been advanced by Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, would allow consumers to buy cheap health insurance plans off the Obamacare exchanges. Plans that are more catered to what they need rather than what bureaucrats in Washington are dictating them to them, as well as what members of Congress are dictating to them. And the plan is designed to basically make low-cost health insurance legal again. And unfortunately, Obamacare, with all of its mandates and all of its required benefits, which drive up the cost of health insurance coverage, are not being changed under the existing bill in the Senate, the Better Care Reconciliation Act. Obamacare still remains in place. The tax structure, the subsidies, those costly mandates still remain in place. So this consumer freedom option would just allow people to buy what they want rather than, again, what bureaucrats tell them to buy.
Hmm. All right. And where does Medicaid funding stand in that?
Well, Medicaid funding. So right now, the way the bill is structured, Senator Pat Toomey has been doing a great job of fighting to keep this particular language related to the growth rate of Medicaid in place in the bill. Some moderates want to take it out and basically indexes Medicaid growth to inflation. Currently, in the last several decades, Medicaid has grown at in some years or some decades twice the rate of GDP growth or economic growth, which is just not a way to have you can't have fiscal sustainability in a program like that. So Senator Toomey would bring it to a lower growth rate, which reduces the cost of Medicaid by about 35% in the second 10 years, 25% in the first 10 years over what's currently expected, and the 35% in the second 10 years over what's currently expected. So Medicaid will still grow, it just grow at a much slower rate, which is something that FreedomWorks supports.
Hmm. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Why is it taking so long to repeal Obamacare?
Well, I mean, this is not Obamacare repeal. A lot of many Senate moderates, Republican moderates, in fact, are going back on their pledges to repeal Obamacare. I mean, Mitch McConnell himself said we would repeal Obamacare root and branch. That's not what's happening with this bill. And a lot of moderates are seeing to that. I mean, you have Susan Collins and Shelley Moore Capito and Bob Corker and Lisa Murkowski and many others, and Dean Heller is another one in the Senate, who really like Obamacare. And those past votes they took really were fraudulent votes when it all comes down to it. They rested in the comfort of a Democrat, President Obama, vetoing that bill in 2015 when it came to the Senate for a vote. And now we're seeing their true colors, and I think that's they sold a pack of lies to their constituents back home when they said they were going to repeal Obamacare. So what we're seeing right now is Obamacare remaining in place, Republicans nibbling around the edges of Obamacare. Really, this bill itself, this entire bill, with the exception of the Medicaid modernization and some expansion of HSAs, is really just an amendment to Obamacare more than anything else.
Hmm. Well, if the consumer freedom option became part of the new bill, that would be different, right?
Well, yes and no. So the consumer freedom option itself is a great proposal, and it has been incorporated into the bill, and it would it theoretically would provide some Americans with a lot of relief. Unfortunately, the way the bill is structured, the consumer freedom option works under a certain set of circumstances, meaning that people who don't utilize health care very much, younger people who aren't sick, would be put into a separate risk pool, and the Obamacare exchanges would function as your high risk pool, where people who are sick and who have a higher utilization of care would receive subsidies, cost sharing subsidies, so to speak, when they for their health insurance coverage. The bill itself mandates a single risk pool, which means that the benefits of having lower cost health insurance plans may be diminished because insurance companies are going to be required to price out their health plans a certain way. I mean, Obamacare has price controls in place. Because of the way the bill is structured, because of the single risk pool requirement in the bill, the benefits of the consumer freedom option have been somewhat diminished.
Huh. What does Rand Paul think?
Rand Paul is, as from what I see lately, I think he was on the Sunday shows, and he was saying very clearly that he's a no on the bill, and he said that no Republican should put their name on this, and that's an opinion I certainly respect.
Well, so wait, so even with the modified version of the consumer freedom option as part of this Senate bill, Rand Paul is still saying no.
Yeah, Rand Paul is saying no because it doesn't keep up with Republicans' promises to repeal Obamacare. That's why he's saying no, and I appreciate the principal stand he's making. I mean, FreedomWorks, we believe that the bill, we don't oppose the bill, but we believe at best it's a marginal improvement over existing law. And again, our activists for more than 7 years have been told that the Senate was going to repeal or Congress was going to repeal Obamacare. Now that we have the right circumstances in place, we expected the 2015 bill to come to the floor, and President Trump to sign it into law. That's not what's happening.
Mm. Here's a comment that Michael Cannon of the Cato Institute, whom you quoted in your piece, and he says this: absent Obamacare's health insurance regulations, premiums would fall for the vast majority of exchange enrollees by an estimated 45% to 68%. It would allow insurers to reintroduce innovative products, which Obamacare effectively outlawed, that would reduce premiums a further 80%. I mean, that sounds good. That sounds like a lot, step in the right direction.
No, it does, and I need to write an updated op-ed on the consumer freedom option since it's been included in the bill. Michael and I talk from time to time about, and we were talking about the consumer freedom option just last Friday, and we were talking about the diminished effects of it now that it's been included in the bill because of the single risk pools. I think Michael has recently put up an updated blog post over at Cato.org where he explains why the consumer freedom option, the way it is included in the bill, is not as impactful as it otherwise would have been.
Huh. So let me ask you this. The way the bill is right now, if the Senate were to vote for it, yes or no, would you be basically in favor of it, even though it does include, I guess, a version of the consumer freedom option?
I mean, I think it's an improvement over current law. I'm hesitant to say that I fully support it because I do have a lot of questions about how the consumer freedom option as the proposal as it was intended was a very good proposal. Michael's absolutely right about what it would have done, but the way the bill it's written in the bill, I'm not so sure that those benefits are going to be there. That said, I do believe it's an improvement over current law, but saying I support it may be a little bit of a stretch.
Hmm. Well, what do you think we should do? I mean, I think Americans are getting frustrated. You know, the Senate, the House, the presidency, they're all in Republican hands, and yet they can't undo Obamacare.
No, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of frustration. I'm just as frustrated. I mean, this is my second career. I've only been working in legislation, on policy and in government affairs for about 2-3 years now. And I'm frustrated as someone who came from Georgia and just followed politics routinely, and I'm frustrated. But I think what I would do if I were Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is bring out the bill, the 2015 bill, which repealed most of Obamacare, bring that up for a vote and make these guys own it. Make these guys go back on their promises, the vote they previously cast in 2015. That's what I would do.
Well, tell us about that bill. Tell us about that December 2015 bill.
Sure. So it was started out in the House, and the bill didn't repeal a whole lot of Obamacare, but the Senate actually improved it. And both Mitch McConnell and Speaker Ryan said this was the bill that it provided a clear path, to quote Speaker Ryan, to repealing Obamacare with a Republican president. That bill repealed Obamacare's tax subsidies, its cost-sharing subsidies, almost all the taxes that corresponded with Obamacare. It repealed Medicaid expansion, and it basically provided a 2-3 year window where Congress could come in and pass a replacement, and it would hopefully have brought Democrats to the table to help them to work on a replacement. And that bill was something FreedomWorks wholeheartedly supported at that time. We would support it again. In fact, if this bill does move forward, the current bill does move forward, I imagine there's going to be an amendment introduced by some enterprising conservative center that would put the 2015 bill back on the floor as an amendment to the Better Care Reconciliation Act. FreedomWorks would, again, wholeheartedly support it, just like we did in the past. But for some reason, senators are backing away from it. And I think it's because, again, and as I said earlier, I think it's because a lot of these guys and girls do like Obamacare.
Well, it could it be, or let me ask you this, the December 2015 version, and by the way, where can one get an executive summary of that, you know, that would just kind of highlight the major points of it. But here's a question for it. Would, let's suppose that were to be introduced and then they voted on that and that became the law. What would happen to people who are currently under Obamacare? Would they then lose their health insurance as the Democrats, you know, warn about? That kind of
they wouldn't. There would be a transition period where Congress would have time to put something else in place, and they can take things like that into consideration. The time period would be anywhere from 2 years. I mean, I think even if you ask some House staffers and Senate staffers, they would even be willing to extend it out a little bit longer so there's a transition period so Congress can put something else in place.
See, I think that's important to highlight, though. I think that's important because what's happening is the naysayers on the other side are saying, oh, you're just throwing granny off the cliff.
Yeah, and no, we're not. I mean, and Democrats are throwing everything they can, including the kitchen sink, at Republicans these days. I mean, this bill is not Obamacare repeal. Nevertheless, I saw no less than a dozen emails come through my inbox over the weekend. They're all fundraising emails from the DCCC or the DSCC, the fundraising arms of the Democratic Conference, House Conference, and the Senate Conference, basically saying Obamacare repeal. And that's not what's being done here. They're modifying Obamacare more than anything else. But Republicans have to do a better job of explaining things, and they have not done that. They came in and kind of took some things for granted when they came back into the new Congress and just assumed everything to fall in place. And what we've seen is, even obstruction from moderate Senate Republicans who just don't want to do what they said they were going to do.
Huh. Well, I guess we could get CNN to report on it if we ask the question, well, what do the Russians think about this new Senate bill related to Obamacare? But help me to just understand this. The December 2015 bill could clearly be classified, you're saying, as a repeal Obamacare, but the current Senate bill, as it is right now, would not be classified as repeal Obamacare. Instead, it would be modify Obamacare, as you worded it earlier. Is that right?
Yes. No, that's exactly what I would say, yes. I mean, there are some things that the Senate wasn't able to get out in reconciliation in 2015. There are some things they couldn't get under in reconciliation this year. But we all agree that the 2015 bill was the minimum of what conservatives would expect.
Who sponsored that? Do you know? I mean,
on the House side, it was oddly enough, then House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price. On the Senate side, it was a substitute bill, and I believe the HELP Committee and the Budget Committee in the Senate as well, were the ones who took on that task.
But you mentioned Tom Price in the House. Isn't he a medical doctor?
Tom Price is a orthopedic surgeon, yes.
Right. That's good. I mean, that just, you know, because the people in the healthcare industry should have more of a voice, you know, a voice on some of these things. I mean, this is, as you pointed out earlier, this is government bureaucrats. That's what Obamacare has been from the very beginning. It's the government coming in and saying, we know better than you or your doctor or, you know, your healthcare provider about what kind of healthcare needs you have. No, you don't. You know, you're just government bureaucrats. Please.
Yeah, no, Jerry, you're absolutely right. And that's exactly what happened with Obamacare. And it wasn't just, I mean, the amount of the lobbying effort that went into Obamacare, and it wasn't just Democrats sitting in a smoke-filled back room by themselves. There was every conceivable lobby from the outside that you can possibly imagine was involved in this bill, from the insurance companies to healthcare providers to everyone. But they were not doing it in a way that's constructive and conducive to patients. It was how they can enhance their bottom lines.
Right.
That's what it all came down to. And insurance companies didn't want to have all these mandates and things that they were required to cover without the individual mandate, for example. They wanted something in there to ensure that everyone was going to buy health insurance coverage. That way they can make sure their bottom line was staying in place. And I understand that. It's a business. I understand that you don't want all these mandates and things like that in there without some measure of protection. Unfortunately, the measure of protection, they got screwed over Americans.
Mm. All right. And with that point, we'll end. Freedomworks.org for more information. Jason Pye has been our guest for this segment. Pye is spelled P-Y-E. By the way, his handle is @PYE. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.